better place to be. There's no better place to be. And so, tonight, if you will allow me, and we might have to get Pastor a new little podium thing here. And I understand why he drops his notes off this thing. But I say, God bless our pastor. Amen. They're away for some well-deserved, some necessary and needed relaxation. And it is absolutely necessary. And we want him to have that every chance he can get, because that's part of what keeps him going. That rest is necessary. That rest is necessary. And so I'm thankful that we have a pastor like we have, a pastor's wife, amen, praying people. I'm thankful that we have leaders like that. Amen. Tonight, I want to, if you'll allow me just for a little bit, if you'll let me, I'm going to endeavor to teach something here. And has anybody ever heard of laws? Laws. So there's several different kinds of laws that govern and operate within the universe. The laws of thermodynamics. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay, what about Newton's laws of motion? Okay, what about the universal law of gravitation? That one's pretty self-explanatory. What goes up must come down. What about, now this one you might not be too familiar with, Kepler's laws of planetary motion. Ooh, that's big college words right there. Planetary. there's natural laws of existence. There's scientific laws. And these laws are verified every day. They're worked with every day. So what is a law? You have judiciary laws, you have scientific laws, natural laws, all of these things. But a law is basically described as one of the following. It could be a binding rule that is formally recognized as binding and enforced by a controlling authority. It's constant, it's consistent, it's an established order, a phenomena that is invariable or unchanging under given conditions. Okay? So keep that in mind. That's a law. Okay? Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. You would turn with me there. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. If you have it, say amen. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Everybody say the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yea, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law of faith. Look at your neighbor and say, the law of faith. You may be seated. So what about the law of faith? Paul shows us that the law of righteousness by works is not really a law at all, as the Pharisees had thought it to be. The Pharisees did have their traditions. The Pharisees did have all of their works ordered to the point that they looked at the works, they looked at the construct of a law and forgot the spirit behind the law. And so there is a law of faith that is very much in operation in our lives today. It brings about things into existence that were not previously there. It is what shows us the righteousness of God, and without faith, we cannot fulfill our purpose. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is absolutely impossible to please God. Now, if you were to look at the Greek word, and I'm not going to get into all the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar, but it was just interesting to me. A lot of times we separate the word faith when it pertains to salvation from the faith when it pertains to, say, healing or God working miracles. But it's the exact same word. It's faith. The faith. It's all-encompassing. There is a law of faith that here in the New Testament we live by. And without this faith, the Bible says in Hebrews, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then you have Hebrews 11. This is where the heroes of faith are found. And the very first verse there says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now by it, what is it? It is the faith. Okay? "By this faith, the elders obtained a good report." So this faith is necessary if we want to please God. If we want to fulfill our purpose, we must have faith. If we are going to conquer, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, if we're going to make it to heaven, we've got to have faith. Look at your neighbor and say, faith. All right. Matthew 17 and verses 14 through 21, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" You didn't have things quite right concerning the law of faith. "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Now Jesus just told the disciples, if you have just enough faith, I mean it's as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and say, "Be thou removed," and it'll be cast into the sea. But then at the end of this conversation, he says, "But casting out this particular kind of devil requires prayer and fasting." Well, wait a minute, Jesus. You just told us if I believed, if I just had faith. Now, why do I have to pray and fast? What does that have to do with faith? To add to it, Jesus told the disciples they had unbelief. But earlier on, Matthew 10, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, this includes Judas, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So they had power to cast out devils. They had power to heal. They had power to do all of these miraculous things. But yet when it come time for this particular instance for a devil to be cast out, they couldn't do it because of unbelief. That's a bit confusing. I thought if we just had a little faith, well, maybe there's something about faith that we don't quite understand. Maybe there are some principles to the law of faith that need to be considered. This is why sometimes when the subject of faith comes up, people get nervous. Doubt starts to work automatically. You start talking about healing sometimes, and let's be real, humanity kicks in, and you start remembering some of the times where you had prayed and maybe didn't get the healing or didn't see the answer that you were looking for. And that's part of the struggle in our humanity. You know, we want to have faith. We want to walk in faith. But sometimes things don't work out exactly the way that we want them to work out. And so then we're left in a tug of war. We're left in a struggle spiritually, trying to figure out what's going on. You deal sometimes with frustrations. Seemingly unanswered prayers tend to jump into your mind sometimes, and you begin to question, well, God, did I hear from you? Did I not hear from you? And there's things that begin to work. But if we will dig into this a little bit, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a sea, a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And so Hebrews 10:23 also said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. I've been a wave sometimes. I've prayed things. I have prayed things and not gotten the answers that I was expecting. I've been through storms of confusion. I've been to that place struggling, dealing with things. The questions have been there. God, why didn't you heal? God, why didn't you fix this situation? I thought things were going to go this way. But in order to make sure that there is nothing wavering, we must understand some principles of the law of faith. Number one, the principle of absolutes. God's word supersedes all. God's word supersedes everything. He will not bypass his word. You cannot pray and fast enough to get God to change his mind on what he has already given in his word. If it's given in his word, he will not deviate from it. God's word is absolute. But God keeps his word to us, his individual promises. His word tells us who he is, what he likes, what he dislikes. It tells us about his will. God reserves rights for different things according to his word and to his will. And the Bible says that he has magnified his word above all of his name. His word is forever settled in heaven. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of God will stand forever. His word will not return unto him void, but it shall, everybody say shall, it shall accomplish that which pleases him. And so there is a principle of absolutes when it comes to God's word. Then we have the principle of foundation. We need to have a basic understanding of who God is. We have to understand the person of God. If you think that God's out to get you, it's a little hard to trust God. But if you understand that God is love, as his word says, then that's moving in the right direction. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His thoughts are of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And yet your Father knows when one of them falls to the ground. And he says, fear not, for you are of much more value than many sparrows. Many sparrows. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. He's not out to get you. He does care. His desire is for you more than you can know. He wants to bless. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. That's who God is. We know that because his word says so. And so we can build on that. That's foundational. That's something that we can hold fast to. That's something that we can anchor our faith in. It's principles that we can count on. And so let's build on that. Let's move forward. The principle of wills. We have to have mindfulness towards God's desires. His will, his purpose, the work of his kingdom should always be present. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. And so here we see that in this law of faith, God's will comes into play as well. Yes, his word is established. Yes, we understand that God has a good desire and a good plan for us, but he also has a will for our lives. So maybe there's some things that we don't see that God sees. Maybe there's some things that we don't understand that God understands. Apostle Paul besought the Lord 3 times to take away that whatever he was dealing with, that sickness or that thorn in the flesh. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Paul, I love you, but my grace is sufficient for thee. Okay. You know, if it was as simple as, well, God, you said, speak to the mountain and it'll be removed. And you know, I just name it and claim it. I just speak and it happens just like that. There's checks and balances. There's things there that come into play. And it has to be according to God's will. It has to be according to God's will. 1 Peter 4. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so here comes into play this beginning to work and deal with the will of God. God wants so much for us, but sometimes he understands that what we ask or what we desire isn't what is best for us, or maybe it's not what's best for somebody else that we're praying about. Maybe there are things that we don't see. We do see through a glass darkly. We're walking in this life and walking in humanity. But then we begin to find the mind of Christ. Sometimes there's a Gethsemane on the other side of the brook Kidron where we have to wrestle until we can say, not my will, but thy will be done. Other times there's a brook Jabbok where we're wrestling with spiritual things until there's a victory and our name is changed. But there is a will of God that we struggle with, and we try to find what that will of God is. I found two times, Peter walked into an area where there was an individual that had died, that had passed away. And it was interesting to me that in both instances, Peter did not just walk up and say, get up. You know, there are instances in the Bible that this took place. You know, Jesus spoke to Lazarus and said, come forth. All of these different things. But Peter knelt down and he prayed. Could it be that he was searching out the will of God? Could it be that he was feeling things out and saying, God, I'm asking according to your will? Maybe there's things that I don't understand here. Then there's the in good faith principle. Have you ever heard the in good faith term? In good faith, the legal entity, the American Bar Association, gives this definition. Good faith has generally been defined as honesty in a person's conduct during the agreement. The obligation to perform in good faith exists even in contracts that expressly allow either party to terminate the contract for any reason. Spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, studying the Word of God, these different things also come into play in faith. Look at the example of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. His faith was shown because of his devotion to the things of God. Could it be sometimes that we ask God to do things, maybe ask him to heal a disease, or maybe ask him to do something, and we have contributed to the problem? And we're asking, God, get me out of this, please. I know I made the mess, but I need you. I need you to help me out here. I'll give you a scenario. Let's say you're doing 75 and a 40, Brother Colton. You see a state trooper, and all of a sudden you get spiritual. Within seconds, you've already started praying, fasting. You're quoting scripture. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. Oh, faith has just risen. And then you get pulled over and get a ticket. But God, I had faith. Well, you also got yourself in trouble. God expects sometimes us to pull some weight. Scenario number two, finances are in a mess. Bills unpaid. I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to pray. Now, I've decided the best option is to go to the boats, put everything I've got left on the line, and pray that God would just bless it. I believe. I have faith. And when the card sharks take your money, then you blame God for not answering. Confusion sets in. But God, I had faith. You told me if I spoke to the mountain. Well, sometimes it depends on our situations, and we have to put that into consideration. There has to be some in good faith principles in play. Sometimes we gotta pull our weight a little bit. Did God not hear? Did we not have enough faith? God does reserve the right to mercy. But many times we tie the hands of God by making poor decisions. So we have to struggle with ourselves. We have to work out our own hindrances to faith. Could be sin. It could be condemnation. It could be fear. things that kind of stand in the way, and we have to make an effort in a daily devotion unto him, a daily dedicated walk with him. Like Cornelius, God, I'm walking in faith, but I'm not just saying I have faith. It's not just a mental ascension of acknowledgement, but I'm putting something with my words. I'm putting something with my actions. James said, if you have faith without works, then it's dead. So faith, true faith, will always require some works. It's gonna take something that goes along with it. Everybody still with me tonight? Then there's the principle of increase and decrease. Faith can grow and expand. It can grow and expand. From faith to faith, it can grow. It's the same law. Every time you read about faith, it's the same word. It means leaning on, hanging on, connecting up to. We're relying on something. We can't see if it's just a name it, claim it type of faith. You that brings power to self. That's if you're not careful, it can get into a prosperity doctrine. It can get into out in left field somewhere. Well, you know, I just claimed that $1 million. Well, we again, there's some things we've got to put in play here. There's some principles to the law of faith for it to be biblical. So there is the same law, but that faith can grow, it can expand, and it can be diminished, and it can be incomplete. Scripture tells us, build yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:15, when your faith is increased. Okay, so there's an ability here for faith to be increased. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, might be perfect, might perfect. Paul is wanting to get to the Thessalonians. He's wanting to help them. He notices some deficiencies here, and he says that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And then 2 Thessalonians 1:3, now there's been a change. And he says, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. So there's differences, there's changes that can happen in faith. Experience with the miraculous can increase faith. I saw God do it once, he can do it again. And your faith begins to increase. Let me give you an example. David went into the battle with the mindset, if God can deliver me from the mouth of the lion, and God can deliver me from the mouth of the bear, then who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Okay? Now later, David takes the sword of Goliath, whom he has killed, as a reminder that if God can deliver me from the giant, he can deliver me from a bloodthirsty king whom God has rejected. So from faith to faith. Now, he steps a little further. If God deliver me from Saul and has set me on the throne, we're winning battles, we're doing good because the Lord is on our side. If God fought against Goliath so that the victory was given, why can't he deliver us from Goliath's brothers? Faith to faith to faith. There's an increase there. There's something that's growing. Experience is teaching. And so how can we grow in faith? It's getting involved. It's beginning to devote ourselves, to submit ourselves, to break down and say, it's not my will, but thy will. And then Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when pastor begins to preach from this pulpit, that's an opportunity for faith to be built. When there's teaching that goes forth, that's an opportunity for faith to be built. So that when you step up against Goliath, you can put that stone in your sling and you can start the process and say, I'm taking you down in the name of the Lord. Studying your Bible builds faith. Familiarity with the scriptures builds faith. And then when we are doing everything that we can do, we can be like Jonathan. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. Philistines, they don't have God's blessing. They don't have God's anointing. They don't have God's help. But we do. We have the promise of the Lord. And it may be God will work for us. That seems like some faith beginning to work. And he's feeling out. You'll notice there's a condition when they get there. He tells his armor bearer, if this happens, we'll do this. If this happens, we'll do something else. Feeling out the will of God. He says, if this happens, then we know God is on our side. Feeling things out, asking according to his will, wanting to conquer, but walking according to the law of faith. The mercy principle. God reserves the right to mercy and grace. He looks upon the heart and will not despise a broken and contrite spirit. Psalm 103 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Goes down, he says, he knoweth our frame, he pitieth his children, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Hebrews 4 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What profession? The profession of our faith. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. James 5 and 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions, just like you and me, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So we understand that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Abraham prayed and God healed Abimelech. Moses prayed, miracles happened and plagues stopped. Hannah prayed and God gave her a son who would be a prophet. Elijah prayed and God answered by fire. Elisha prayed and God opened a young man's eyes to see chariots of fire. Hezekiah prayed and he was healed. Jonah prayed and got thrown up. Peter prayed and Tabitha came to life. Jesus prayed and saved all of mankind. The 120 prayed and received the Holy Ghost. Cornelius prayed and saw an angel. Paul and Silas prayed and the prison was shaken and bonds were loosed. Paul prayed and saw Jesus. John prayed and got a revelation. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is a principle of mercy. God is a merciful God, and God does answer prayer. Then there is the humanity principle, and I'm drawing to a close here. Understand that there are things that we don't understand. It's just things that we don't get. There's things that we can't see. We see through a glass darkly. Time is our natural scale. It's God-given, but it's not God's scale. He doesn't operate in time. He operates outside of time. He steps back and he sees everything. He operates in eternal scales. God is beyond time and he holds time. He can make the sun stand still, Joshua. He can do it. There are dimensions and there's realms that we cannot comprehend. But we know that God is a good God, and that if we put our trust in Him, He will not fail us. He will never leave nor forsake us. Philippians, and this verse has just grabbed at me lately. Philippians 3:7-9. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. His desire, his focus was just to win Christ. It didn't matter what it cost. And to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable into his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I haven't got it complete yet. I'm not perfect, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so when Paul is speaking here, he's speaking about the law of faith, but his focus is not on miracles. His focus is not on all of these different things and name it and claim it, but he says, I'm after Christ. I want to be found in him. I want that walk of faith. I want that walk in the Spirit. And when I do this, I'm not following after the signs, but the signs are following me. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. And so when there's principles here in the law of faith, and I know that these things are part of the walk of faith, part of knowing him, part of an apostolic power, but I'm after him, not them. And so I will pray, and I know that God is well able, and I know that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I trust in him, and I'm devoting, and I'm putting things with my words. I'm putting actions in my faith, and I'm applying these principles. But if for some reason things don't go the way that I think they should, yet I will trust him. Though he slay me, the psalmist said, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. And so, if I'm abiding in the law of faith, then I can speak to the mountain, because I've felt out these principles. I know it's in the will of God. I know that there's a promise. Maybe God has spoken to me. Maybe there's something there. And I know all of these different things come into play. And when they're all aligned according to God's will and according to his word, and I have put in my part and I'm doing everything that I can, then I know if I ask anything according to his will, he will do it. And I can speak to that mountain and it will be cast into the sea. It will, it will, it will, it will. Because the law of faith is at work. the law of faith. Amen. I'm thankful for a law of faith. I'm thankful for a God that we can put our trust in. We don't have to put our trust in ourselves. We don't have to walk according to our own understanding. But we can feel after him. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I wonder if we could stand tonight. I wonder if you could lift your hands tonight. And if you could ask God to increase your faith tonight. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. God, I want to walk according to your will. God, I want to have that faith, God, that you desire for me to have. God, I want to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. God, you're well able. You're well able, Jesus, to move in. You're well able to speak. God, you're well able to heal. You're well able to move mountains, God. Oh, but I want to walk according to your will, Jesus. I want you to lead me in this life, God. I want you to guide me. I want you to help me, God. I want you to lead my desires, God. Direct my path, Jesus. Increase my faith, Lord. Help me, God. Help me, God, that I can be pleasing to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so there's principles here. These are not things that God has put into place to restrict us or to keep us from seeing the miraculous. It's things that God has put into place to help us, to increase us. There's checks and balances, there's things there, but God is a good God, and he desires more than we can understand to help and to heal. And there is a revival. There is a revival that is here, that is working. There is a desire. And sometimes it's hard to see. But I'm believing that God is going to do great things in our midst. I'm expecting it. I'm praying for it. I'm doing what I can to move forward into it. And I know the promise of God is there. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen, amen, amen. And you may be dismissed. Let's go to heaven how? Together. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Be kind.